Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk about yet another Vikings victory, three in a row after losing two in a row, moving to 8-2 in pretty damn good position. It's kind of interesting, we were just talking about it before we hit record that, you know, we went through this streak here, this three in a row where we felt like we could get dubs, but we definitely left, you know, some things on the table offensively. We'll see if that comes back to bite us as the schedule starts to improve. So, yeah, we'll recap what happened on Sunday. Like I said, a nice win regardless of how the second half played out offensively. Pretty close to breaking this thing wide open, but just couldn't quite do it. Then, of course, on the road again at Chicago, we'll preview and predict that. And then, as you know, if you've been listening long enough, we always close the show with a Gopher football segment. They're coming off a bye. And it's senior day, Penn State coming into town, highly ranked one-loss team, looking to continue improve their positioning in the college football playoff. I'm talking about Penn State, not the Gophers. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, welcome. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoperadio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and rope it open, download the show there. If you don't want to, you can find it in a host of other places on Rope It Open Radio at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Download the podcast app, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM. We have a Spreaker page called Living in Loserville. For the folks that have Spotify, they like listening to music and podcasts, check it out, Purple People Eaters on Spotify. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com at Sports News 24. One more thing from DirecTV Stream, follow your teams all season long. The best way to get your favorite college and professional team, get all the top channels, is DirecTV Stream. For a limited time, still have that good special, $86.98 for the first 2 months. When you sign up for the entertainment package and add the DirecTV Sports Pack, they do have a free trial. You can check it out. The Choice Package, which includes FanDuel, which was Bally's SEC Network as well, $94.99 for the first 3 months. And then the Ultimate, which includes over 160 channels, $109.99. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in the co-host, Aaron. You know, it's kind of a weird thing these last three games, because we're always saying a win is a win, and it felt like a better win, you know, yesterday. But you can't help to think offensively, you know, the Vikes definitely leaving stuff on the table, just sitting there waiting to put away a team, you know, put it out of its misery. And couldn't quite accomplish that, but, you know, some big plays and good play by the offense in the first half. It never got super, super, oh my God, we're worried we're going to lose, or we never gave up the lead, which is a positive too. So it's kind of up and down when I think of that.
Yeah, we start off with the fumble. I mean, that wasn't fun.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what, you know, I don't know what that was all about. Probably Jones just, you know, looking ahead and not securing the ball. But yeah, you're right. Through that game, three game stretch, it's like, you know, yeah, they're W's, a win is a win. We get all that. But offensively, there's been hiccups. And I think maybe we got spoiled in those first five-ish games.
Yes.
Just coming out, hitting, you know, big play, able to run the ball. But I think that's caught up with us a little bit. You know, obviously losing Darisaw wasn't, you know, a great thing. But, yeah, I mean, it just kind of leaves a lot to be desired, like you said. I mean, you don't score any touchdowns against the Jaguars, who just gave up 50 to the Lions. And then, you know, you kind of clunk along in this one. Like you said, you never really gave up the lead, but there was a lot, you know, Naylor drops a pass, which could have extended a lead. Kind of hung in that two possession area for way too long. And, you know, Sam sort of sharp, but, you know, great pass to Addison. That was right on the money, but the rest of it, you know, it's kind of shaky. Didn't throw any picks. And then the running game's not as solid. And I don't know how many attempts we ran. Let me look here. 15 for Jones, 10 for Akers. Darnold had 8, so 33 attempts totally, and actually 25 if you just count the running backs. That's low, a little bit low. But you couldn't really run the ball. They got a good front. But I think I'd want to see him run the ball a little bit better. Reisner in for Ingram, some changes there. So, man, you're right. It needs, does leave things to be desired offensively. And just doesn't seem like they put it all together kind of like they had it going in the first part of the year. Sam had a good outing, I guess you could say. He reduced the turnovers. There were no really stupid plays. Threw the ball away in situations, which was nice to see. Hit some passes, missed a few. Was able to get out of the pocket, scramble a little bit. So as far as that goes, I think, kind of a bounce back game for him, considering the two before that. But still, again, that's another work in progress. Could have been better, but obviously could have been worse. You take it, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I know that the PFF rating, Aaron, is his highest since like 2019 or something I saw on Twitter. So a lot of people just kind of say that's his best performance, and I think there's been better performances. But what I liked about it is we've seen him scamper for some first downs or, maybe a play's just not going to work, so he gets 4 yards or something. We don't lose yards or nothing like that. We've seen him do that. He does a pretty good job, throughout a game doing that. And then this season. But I liked how he actually scrambled and completed a couple passes. That was nice. And we haven't seen that as much. Usually when he's outside the pocket, it's to run or, it doesn't necessarily go all that well. So I liked what I saw there. He did have a couple of plays that stand out there that were first downs and him just buying a little bit more time. And also the receivers or running backs or tight ends or whatever. Coming back to the ball too, that always helps. But I thought he was really solid, especially I was kind of wondering where he was mentally lately. He just hasn't been playing as well. And when we lost those back-to-back games, we told everyone that the sky's not falling, but you do have to, we're not a 100% real deal contender. I'd say we're a fringe contender right now. We have the potential to get a little better and turn into, hey, man, we can beat anybody. Because we have. Even Detroit, we played right with them, and they're looking like the best team in the league right now. So I think that, the sky wasn't falling, and the defense sky wasn't falling either. When you look at the points that Detroit before and especially after since we played them, the defense doesn't look so bad, if you think about it. And they scored a touchdown in that game. I think overall we're just right on that fringe contender range. I thought that trade they made for the left tackle has paid off pretty well. But, yeah, when you're up 16-3, I guess it's not like a over-the-top, being picky about certain things, like an over-the-top complaint, like, oh, my God, that was a horrible game. Man, we should have won by 40 or nothing like that. Because I have seen people be a little too negative where you're like, well, hold on, dude. That comes back to how great do you think this team is? That's one. But I think when you're up 16-3 and then you have – 6 possessions in the second half and you only score on one of them. Now, I like that the time they scored is when they were getting close in the game again. So I do like that part. That's cool. But other than that, the second half, it kind of fell apart, but it was kind of funny how he fumbled right away. And you're right. I think Jones was just looking because the pitch didn't seem high or low or anything like that. But, that was a little funky. But once again, they actually had a nice drive there And the Titans did was like 11 plays, almost 6 minutes. But and they, Ridley had a great catch. But I think they had a drop pass on like a 3rd and 9 or something like that. And we had like a 3-man rush, got a sack out of it. But either way, it's just 3-0. And then Addison running wide open. You're right, it was a good throw, but I mean, he was open. And then obviously they had some miscommunications in the back end because there was just, he just running. It's like, all right, guess I got this. And the Titans came right back and had 5 plays, made him punt. And this was a great drive. There was 3 long drives in the first half that I really liked, but the 16 play, 89 yard over 8 minutes. Now we did miss the extra point, but 8 runs, 8 passes on a 16 touchdown drive, 16 plays. That I really liked that. And that was one of those, I think on a 3rd and 6, Sam spun out of a tackle and did find, Sherfield for a first down. JJ had a nice 31 yard strike for a first down. Hawk had a nice first down. Sam had a nice scramble on that one. And then it was kind of weird because it was like 4th and 1, there was a penalty. 1st and goal, there was a PI. And then, you know, it was just an ugly way to get it in, but we got it in. Sam stunk it in. And, you know, another 3 and out. And then another 11-play drive. Addison almost made a great catch on a 3rd and 11, but we had to settle for a field goal. But, you know, came right back, 6 plays and made him punt. Van Ginkle had a sack. So you're sitting there 16-3 at half. You're doing pretty good. You know, they have 9 penalties, which is obviously wild. We already had 4 sacks in the first half, 44 yards rushing, and 140 through the air, only 28 on the ground, and 33 overall they held them to. But I was feeling, yeah, 6 first downs. So 6 out of those 9 penalties were first downs, and I think 7 for the game. So much like 2 games ago where we had like 6 or 7 penalties where we just gave it to them, or maybe that was 3 games ago. I can't remember, but I really was feeling comfortable at half, not just the stat line or whatever, but it just looked like we were playing as a full unit. You saw, you know, during the game, Jefferson through first 5 seasons, he's already passed Holt, Moss, and Rice, and he still obviously has games left in this season. So the most receiving yards, you know, through 5 seasons. And that's just like on repeat because he had such a big lead there. But, even with that injury, with the hamstring last year, for him to get 1,000 yards, that's pretty big. But yeah, I was feeling really good. I got to admit, I wasn't anticipating offensively that second half, Aaron, I have to admit, because I really like what I saw out of Sam, just in general.
Yeah, we've seen the long drives. I mean, we just couldn't finish them a couple games back. And, yeah, it did seem like a mirror image of the Rams game where we just kept giving up third down penalties. And now it kind of worked its way back our way with the Titans doing the same thing. Although some are a little questionable, you know, we'll take them. And then you're right about the run, you know, pass balance. It didn't seem like a lot of runs. And it's tough to run the ball. I mean, Jones is a step better than I think the other two backs. Akers will do. You know, I think he's a little better than Chandler. But Chandler's been popping some nice ones, too, when he gets into play. But Jones is just a different element. And we didn't really see a lot of the screen game in this one. I think a wide receiver tried a couple screens like that again. But yeah, I mean, offensively, Chris, we get these long drives and we were able to finish it this time, at least one of them, maybe 2. But we had those against, I want to say the Colts and then against, Jaguars as well. We just couldn't finish them and we kept turning the ball over. And so that's that thing where you're saying, you know, you give a little, get a little. It's like, okay, now we got the long drives, but we're not finishing. And now we, you know, we finish, we get drives, quick hitters, things like that. And then we get big plays too, like the way Addison had. And so, yeah, it's just kind of you know, I felt good at half at 16-3, like you, but I didn't expect an offensive explosion in the second half. I thought maybe they'd score a little bit more, but it just kind of lingered, like I said earlier, in that two-score area. And I was like, okay, can you put these guys away? Will you, you know, make a play, get three, you know, get six, get what you need to get to just, you know, shut the door on them. And then, you know, Levis comes back in the second half, plays pretty well. You know, he took some hits. You could tell he was having a hard time with our defense. Hard to read it. And I think there's more wrinkles that Flores is throwing in, obviously, as the season progresses. You're going to get different wrinkles in there. And so I thought, you know, we haven't played that complete game. And I think that's what everybody's kind of looking for. You know, I don't want to be too critical, you know, of an 8-2 team. And sometimes it's hard to remember that it's 8-2.
Yes.
But, you know, we haven't really played our best. I think maybe our best half might have been that first half in Green Bay. Questionably, maybe, you know, the Giants, something in there.
The Houston game, I think, is our best game.
Sure. But then to put, you know, to have it two halves and put it all together and just play well, I think we're still kind of waiting for that. Now, we're getting into mid-November here, so peaking time is probably a couple weeks away. But, yeah, I mean, as far as that first half, if you can imagine they would score more in the second half, then I think you're pretty comfortable. But that's been, you know, a little more space than we've had a lot this season at the half. And so, yeah, at halftime, I was feeling pretty good. There were some things that I thought, you know, I want to see Sam get rid of the ball a little quicker. I want to see, you know, a little more pressure. I want to see us run the ball a little bit better. I'd like to see Jones break a big run at some point here. I think he's had one or maybe two on the year, but I'd like to see him get free and get down the sideline. But overall, yeah, 16-3 at the half, I was pretty satisfied with that. And I thought, you know, that was something you could take in the second half, put up some more points, and maybe run away with the game.
Yeah, it felt like it was really close to that, too. We come out, have a three and out. Titans had a three and out. Grenard had a tackle for a loss on third down. Then we had a five and out. And then... the 98-yard throw and catch to make it 16-10. It looked like Metellus wasn't in the correct position. I haven't, you know, seen the all 22. Just judging on the broadcast, not just what the broadcast said, but you know what you could see anyway. It kind of looked like that. You know, maybe watching it again, I could see something else, and it'd be like, oh, actually, yeah, maybe that person's supposed to be. Either way. He got by Metellus, and it didn't look – well, there was no one beyond him. So something tells me someone was supposed to be there unless, you know, the corner got it wrong and they weren't supposed to be in zone because he did clearly put some hands on him, let him go through, pass him off, and then went into coverage in the slot. So, you know, it did appear like Metellus just didn't get over there. So that one hurt. Now, we had like a 96 – or something like that earlier this year. So I guess, you know, that's just us getting it back. But, yeah, that one hurt because it's like, dude, to get it all in that one play, and when you look at his yards, especially in the second half, 98 right in that play, you know, it makes it look a lot worse than it is. But this is what I did like about it. Came right back, seven plays, 65 yards, touchdown drive. JJ caught a nice first down. Sam took a nice shot when he delivered it. Oliver has just been – I mean, we know he's a blocker and all that, but he's been playing great offensively, having maybe those first chunk of games without TJ and even the last little bit last year. You know, really, I don't know, it just gave more confidence or whatever, but you can really go to him. Akers got the touchdown there. So I was like, all right, dude, you know, you met it. They were getting close. Cool, you know. But, you know, and you know, they had a nice drive, came back like a four-minute drive, and we held them to a field goal. So it's 23-13, kind of like in that two-score area that you're talking about. And they had a deep ball, but they had a league of formation. They're really cracking down on tackles. you know, lining up too far back, like getting a head start. And I'm actually, although it kind of sucks when it happens, I've seen it happen to us. I've seen it happen to other teams across the league, actually. You could tell they're cracking down, like I said. But I do like it in general because you've noticed, like, I don't know when it started, but it has been, it does feel like you saw more and more of the tackles, you know, backing way up. And it's like, well, hold on, dude. You know, that's kind of weird. Why are they able to do that? That's not, you're not on the line of scrimmage anymore. So,
well, it started with the one leg, you know, it was that wide stance.
Yep.
And then, okay, I'll just, you know, put my other leg back a little bit. Yeah. So I thought it was getting out of hand. And
it is.
And they give you a head start on, you know, the pass rushers and maybe,
yeah, especially at that position, right?
You're right. So, because, you know, they want to get wide a lot of times, the defensive ends and,
right,
and the edges. And so I see why they do it. As far as them cracking down on it, it's like, okay, fine. But you know, that's going to probably put the sack numbers up a bit, especially for speed rushers. But, you know, yeah, it was just funny how the kind of evolved, because you used to see those wide one leg back stances, and then it just kind of crept back a little bit. And I guess they're just trying to correct that.
Yep. And I am glad that they're usually, what they're cracking down on is just silly shit or like, really, dude, you're going to get that much more to the offense. So I'm actually glad that the defense gets a little like, hey, yeah, that's kind of messed up. Why do we not stop giving so many advantages to the offense? So yeah, I do like that, but you know, that was a deep ball that had to have sucked for them. The illegal formation is what it turns out to be. I think it was the right tackle in this one. And you know, we got down to the 21-yard line, from a deep ball to Oliver. 3rd and 11, we were forced to, you know, not, or they had a, I should say they had a deep ball down to the 20-yard line, but we forced a punt. And so you're like, all right, cool. You know, we're good. And Powell had a highly difficult catch that he got, and it was so close for that deep ball to end in a touchdown to Naylor. That's the one that, you know, could have went, that ball and then the deep 98-yard touchdown. If those things flip around, the game's over probably. But, you know, we can do that all day long, but that's just sports, you know what I mean, or life or whatever. If that light wouldn't have turned red, I wouldn't have been late to work, you know. Well, yeah, true, but if you had left 6 minutes early, you wouldn't have been late to work, you know. So it is what it is. But this is where I had some issues here, right? So you're like, all right, cool. I got a field goal. It's 23-13. And then we did get some yardage and almost got a touchdown on that drive. So you got to give them credit somewhat. But then the defense gave us a turnover on downs. And what we do with it, we punt it, right? We got a couple plays off, and that's about it. Another turnover on downs, Aaron. And then what do? 3 and out. You know, and it's just like right then and there, those are 3 drives. If one, and I'm not saying you got to at least have 17 points on those 3 drives or something like that. You know, honestly, just scoring a touchdown on 1 of the 3. And in this case, just a field goal on 1 of the 3. Just something, I don't know. That's the issue I had with the offense. They played really good in the first half. They did respond with that touchdown to get the game back in our advantage. But it just seemed like the defense, and it's happened now, you know, these last couple weeks, yes, there are wins, but we should be beating these teams. So it is kind of that weird thing. Like, you don't want to complain about 8-2, but we are here now. So we got to legislate what we're talking about here. And it is bothersome that the defense kept giving it to you, and you just couldn't do enough with it beyond that one drive after the field goal that could have been a touchdown Naylor. But that was a big, you know, a disappointment, no doubt. Harrison got another pick, which is, you know, just part of his legacy. He's a guy that, you know, every time he gets a pick, it seems like, or a sack, you know, it just seems like, oh, by the way, this stat. And so he's moving up that. Harrison Smith is one of the one of the four players all time to have 35 interceptions and 20 sacks in their career, as a safety. And he's now, he has more tackles, interceptions, and sacks than Polamalu. So the dude is obviously stud. We already know that. But, yeah, that was just disappointing because it's like you're right there, dude. You're dominating the game in so many ways offensively. And that's troublesome because they were close. When the defense would hook them up in the red zone early in the season, to their credit back then, they were great in the red zone. They finished drives, you know. So to have those three really long drives in the first half and then not to put one when you could have just given that extra cushion, it's hard not to come out of that a little disappointed because we're not playing, you know, a top tier team. Yeah, we're on the road, but shit, when you look at some of these games on the road with these two win teams, there's like 30-40% Vikings fans in the audience. So yeah, that one sucked, man. 5 out of 6 drives we only scored a touchdown, and like I said, I'm not asking for much to say one field goal drive out of the last 3 times we had the ball.
Well, that goes to our earlier point. It's like, you know, yeah, 8-2. Yeah, you should be riding high. You should be feeling good. But it's like you have those 3 and outs, 5 and outs, hiccups, you know, things that you shouldn't be having at this point of the season and for an 8-2 team. Obviously, we're not playing the best caliber of opponent at the moment. But, I mean, they lace them up just like we do, get paid just like we do. So we have to figure, you know, that they're also trying to win the game. And you can't underperform. Like, it's going to come back to bite you at some point. If you can't score on these, you know, like you said, defense will hand you short field or, you know, just get you the ball back. And you go 3 and out and put the defense back on the field. I mean, yeah, you can lean on your defense to a degree, but at some point, you know, you're going to wear them out or whatever. So yeah, it'd be nice to, you know, find that consistency throughout the game offensively and be able to score points. And if you're going to, you know, get the ball 6 times in a half or what have you, then you can score at least a field goal, you know, 3 or something, get the points just to put the game away. And it just seems to be a recurring issue. Like you mentioned, it just kind of lingers and lingers and lingers. And it's like, okay. And then boom, you get a big play and then, okay, you forget about it. But what about the 3 and out before and the 5 and out? And generally it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's play calling, but it's, you know, I didn't see, you know, I think O'Connell kind of wasn't cute at all this game. We didn't see a lot of trick plays or, you know, fancy stuff. It was just kind of run the ball and throw the ball. But man, I think a combination of a lot of things. I think Sam has something to do with it, you know, a little erratic at times. Sometimes it's penalties. It's just a lot of different reasons, and it just doesn't seem like you're progressing offensively the way you should. But, again, you know, you look at the bright side, you're 8-2, you gave up 33 rushing yards. Defensively is, you know, the defense has been carrying this team, whether you want to admit it or not. They got good pressure this game. I thought they were pretty good in coverage, Chris, besides, like you said, the long touchdown, which I think you're right about Metellus. He just got a little too wide and couldn't get back, take away that pass, and next thing you know, the guy's gone. And then they, you know, after that, the next drive, I think they came out and had another long pass, I think to Ridley, in the middle of the field, which wasn't great. And I'm like, well, what, they figure out the blitz here? Now you got to change it up. And I think Flores did. I think he went back to a little more coverage, didn't bring as much pressure, because obviously they found the way to beat it. But yeah, I mean, you got some sacks. Cashman had one. Van Ginkle had a couple. Jones had a couple. Nice to see Patrick Jones showing up again. But yeah, I mean, again, I think it's a game, and maybe it's arguable. You can come back at me if you think so, but I think the defense probably won you this game too, which, hey, you know, that's fine. But it's really hard to kind of stomach when you got Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, Jones on the other side of the ball and you're struggling a little bit. That's what kind of leads me back to, is it Darnold? a little bit, you know, just because you have those pieces and it should run pretty smoothly. Your offensive line took a hit with Darius out, but you, like you said, you made a good trade. You got a decent left tackle. You know, your right guard issue kind of solved now. We'll see how that goes with Risner, but, and then Bradbury had a couple bad plays in this one, but I mean, overall Bradbury hasn't been stinking it up as usual. So, you know, offensive line is decent. I don't know what it rates in PFF. So, I mean, to me, all that says it has to go back to the quarterback a little bit. And if it's not the quarterback, then it goes back to O'Connell and the plays and the offensive coordinator. And then it's a whole ball of yarn to unravel. But I really think, you know, there's some hiccups there. It should get cleaned up, but, you know, you should be coming into that, like I said earlier, that point where you're kind of peaking in the season and you don't want to see three and outs and five and outs, especially when you're trying to put a game away, especially when that possession is a key possession in the game. You want to be able to say, okay, our offense is capable of doing what it needs to do to put a game away or to make a lead, you know, to extend a lead. And so far, it's just been herky jerky and you haven't been able to really count on that.
Yeah. And I mean, breaking down the last 3 weeks, 81 first downs to 34 first downs. So, you know, we're dominating from the 20 to 20, you know, but unlike, and we've talked about this the last few weeks, you know, we played so well in those early games in the red zone. And that has kind of fallen apart. And, you know, some of it was probably just off-season scheming stuff up. They caught up to it. All right, what else are you going to do now? I'm sure some of it plays into that as well. I don't know. It is kind of funky because, like you said, we do a lot of good things at times. Long drives, big plays in that first half. I think we ran just enough yardage-wise, 80-something yards. We only gave up 4 hits on the QB, 2 sacks. But you're right about the defense, no doubt about it. You are, I mean, no doubt. It's 5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, 9 hits on the QB. Now, you know, we gave up some passing yards in the second half, no doubt, right? A lot of it was that 98-yarder and then the other one that you talked about. So there is something there. But 6 of 15 on third down, 0 of 2 on fourth down. And like I said, those 2 turnovers and then a turnover on downs, I should say, and then a pick to close it out. And Alec Lewis put out this stat with True Media Sports. The Vikings defense has a 71% success rate against designed runs. No NFL defense has had a better figure since 2015. He said Phillips, Bullard, Tiller, Redmond. You know, they're doing a little bit better than we thought, or a lot better than we thought, actually. Now, they are allowing explosive plays as of Sunday evening, or through the air. Only 3 teams have given up passes of 16 yards or more in Minnesota, so we're 4th worst there. Now, some of it is, you know, we got those big leads early in the season, and then shit, we had a nice lead 16-3 in this one. So you are going to give up more passes, and you are going to play maybe a lighter type, not prevent defense, but you're going to get something. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of a combination. It did seem like when we played those back-to-back, the Rams and the Lions, that those are the best 2 offenses, I guess, with Houston or whatever, that we played. And they did seem like the middle of the field was something they could take advantage of. Now that we got Cashman back, that seems to be tightened up. We'll find out. And sometimes, like I said before, nowadays a great offense beats a great defense a lot of the times across many sports, not just football. But there has been some big plays, you know, that we've given up. And when you play that blitz type, you know, defense, you are going to get burnt sometimes, right? So it just, as long as you don't continue to get burnt. You even mentioned how you know, they got a couple plays. Okay, let's do something different. And it seemed to work. So overall, though, you're right. The defense has carried us. I just every week almost we come back and be like, man, I just can't believe how much this defense has improved. But yeah, I'm very satisfied with the defense. I don't know how you couldn't be this year. I know people were down on them in back-to-back games or whatever. And I keep hearing this Dallas Turner thing. And he's getting in there for some plays. He made a play 2 weeks ago. I get it. But to be honest with you, dude, like if you look at Van Ginkel and Jones, you know, 4 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, they hit the QB 7 times between 2 guys. Like, are you going to just, well, we got to get Turner, but well, hold on. Dude, why would we not play? Like, I don't know. We're deep at that position. We're
yeah, if it's not Van Ginkel and Jones, then it's Grenard or, right. You know. So, I mean, it's deep. And I've heard the same things. And he's a rookie. You know, give him time. It's a blessing that you don't have to throw him in there 40 snaps. You know, let him learn. Obviously, he's proven he can make plays. Now just, you know, he can kind of slow play it and get him in there. But I've heard the same thing. It's been annoying. I'm, you know, just let it go with him. Get him in there in his plays where he can make a difference. And it's a tough room to break right now. You got 3 quality edge rushers. That you're not going to see a lot of time.
Yeah, so I don't know. I could understand, like, when we're playing a team that's passing a lot and you want to keep the defense fresh or whatever, especially those that Rams in the Lions game. I get that in saying, why didn't he get more playing time then? So I do get that, but I don't know. But, yeah, it has been, like, if you look at that Colts game, 21-13, we scored all 21 of those in the second half, remember, and then 12-7. Was just a really mediocre thing, and we ended up getting 23 points, but you know we had 16 at half. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Any other items before we start to get into Dub Bears in Soldier Field, where the greatness of sweetness resided.
Yeah, good old Walter Payton. Huh? No, I'm fine with the Vikings. Like you said, it's an offensive issue. I'm sure it'll iron itself out. It's just been inconsistent to say the least. And so you point that out. Thank God for the defense. I think they held us in games. And that's been good. Now on the road to Chicago, Chris, we talked a little off air about would it have been better if they had beaten Green Bay or if they had lost to Green Bay? Obviously if they beat Green Bay, you know, one, they'd be off the snide, but on the downside of that, they'd have their confidence back. Losing to Green Bay, especially the way they lost, they got to feel snake bit. And they're, you know, their dobber could be down for the game on Sunday. But, you know, you can't really count on any of that. You know, Caleb played a little better against Green Bay. He's improving. I think there's some weird stuff going on that team. Their receivers are just kind of seemed like a mutiny for a while there with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen just kind of being dejected and stuff and, you know, not actually, you know, finishing plays and whatnot. So there's something going on there. It seemed like they put it away against Green Bay and actually played pretty well. Defense is there. It's been there all year. They got a good defense. They don't have a big nasty like we're used to from them, but they have a lot of other good stuff and a good secondary. And I think they'll be able to cover Jefferson and deal with Addison and stuff. So we can't have a inconsistent offensive performance like we've been talking about for the last stretch of games. You're going to have to score some points here. Defensively, I think that's our advantage in this one, our defense against their offense. If Caleb's having trouble seeing things, then he's really going to have some trouble with what Flores is going to throw at him. Obviously, he can get outside the pocket. He can run a little bit. He can make plays on the run if you let him. So you got to, you know, stay on your guys and cover. I think it's a game the Vikings can win. Obviously, they should win it. But it's Soldier Field. It's always been a bugaboo for the Vikings. Seems like we drop one there and then we beat them at home almost every year, or the vice versa, where they beat us at home and, you know, we beat them at home, but we split with them generally, whether they're good or bad. I don't think it's a bad football team, Chris. I don't think the Bears are bad. I think they're just kind of scrambled and messed up mentally, I think, more than anything. And it might be the Hard Knocks. It might be Caleb's personality. It might be a lot of things going on. Eberflus is on the hot seat. There's a bunch of shit going on in that franchise. Nonetheless, a talented team, a good team, and you're going to see them probably, I would say, at their best. I don't think they're going to throw this one away. So I'm a little worried about the offense, Chris, about our offense being able to be consistent and score points because their defense is adequate and they can get pressure. But I think the advantage, like I said earlier, will be our defense against their offense. So I don't think they're going to score a lot of points. It's just, can we score enough points to beat them?
All right. Sorry. I had a little mute issue there. Yeah, you're right. You know, lately we've actually been doing pretty good in Chicago, but they're ugly games. They're very low scoring, ugly games. So I don't think this will be any different. I like how you put that. You're right. I think it will come down to their offense, or you know, our offense against their defense. And yeah, I mean, losers of four in a row, it's kind of weird because when they've played like Washington, they only lost 18-15. Obviously, they had a kick, you know, they had a kick to try to win the game. Just on Sunday, lost 20-19. But then Arizona, who, by the way, is better than what we thought at the beginning of the year. So they got their ass kicked, and then they got their ass kicked by the Patriots, you know. So it's just, it is kind of weird, like four in a row. Will it be five in the slide continues, or, you know, will they get off the schneid like we were talking about it? I don't know, man. It is kind of a weird position to be in. I'm not totally sure how that will go. We are 3.5-point favorites on the road, and I think the over-under, 40.5, I like that. I'd probably, even though it's a low number in the pros anyway, I would probably go under. I think you're right. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. They only average 19 points a game, 19.4. They run the ball pretty good, kind of like us, 115, but only 174 yards per game passing. That's rough. So we're up, you know, over 24. That has been coming down, like we've been mentioned. At one point a few weeks ago, it was 29 per game. Now it's 24.4. But the key thing is there, like you said, their defense is pretty solid. Two things. Only 197 a game given up passing. That's freaking good. So, yeah, I think we are going to have a little issue. They're not even giving up just short of 19 points a game. But the key here, 130 on the ground. 130 yards they're giving up. We're only giving up 74.4 a game. Now, I think that gets skewed, rushing I'm talking about. I think that does get skewed from the early four games, you know, having to, like, abandon the run so much. And even to an extent, yesterday they abandoned the run as well. So I think that plays into it. I'm not saying it doesn't feel like we're that great of a run defense. But, yeah, when they're giving up 130. So we got to run the ball. We got to go out there and get – right in that realm. I'm not saying it has to be 175 yards, but it would be nice to ball control, wear them down, and then hit them with something big. And then, you know, take advantage of the short stuff too. If they're going to put pressure on, if they're going to try to blitz some, you know, where they blitz, you know, hopefully we design a play that someone's right there and you can just get rid of it. And that's the thing about Sam. Sam has held the ball a lot this year. You look at the time stuff. Now, you could say some of the scramble stuff adds to that time. Some of the play action, although we don't really do a bunch of seven-step drop. We do it more than we did the last few years, but statistically-wise or analytically-wise, I guess. And so I'm saying when you take seven steps, that obviously automatically adds on average time to it. But I have been seeing that in recent weeks that, you know, we were giving him a lot of time, but he's holding the ball too much. So, and it does seem like they get a lot of pass, you know, pressure. So, I mean, a buck 97 in today's game, for giving up pass yards, that's pretty damn good. So yeah, I'm thinking I am going under something like 20-16 Vikings, maybe like 23-16 or some kind of funky number. Like, I don't even want to do like a 19-16, but yeah, I'll say 20-16. 23-16, somewhere in that round, the Vikings get the dub on the road. And the Bears keep that losing streak going.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think you're right. Right in that score. I'm thinking maybe even lower, so I'm definitely going under on this one. I'm thinking like 17-13, something like that. I think if you can get a lead, you'll keep it. You know, if you can get 10-13 points, even maybe 7, you know, just come out on fire, get a big play for a touchdown, get on top of them. I don't think they'll be able to come back. Now, like you said, they have played some pretty good teams pretty well. Depending on how good you think the Packers are, they played them pretty well. I think Arizona's pretty good, played them pretty well, Washington as well. So they've been in it for some close games here, and they just haven't gotten the win. So, you know, you want to be careful of that. I think if you can score 17, you'll probably win. And if you can get 23, like you're suggesting, yeah, I think you'll win. I think, defensively, it'll be a tough day, for Caleb. I want to say that, but then again, you go,
let's hope.
Will it? Yeah, because,
on some wood.
You know, he can't get out of the pocket. He does a lot of great things out of the pocket. And so you're going to have to do that little contain thing with the defensive end. So maybe they don't rush as hard. This one feels like a Vikings win. But let me also say, in some sense, it does feel like a loss. Chicago, you know, Soldier Field, they've lost a lot of close games, and this could be a close one that could change. But I'm going to cast my lot in here with the Vikings. I think they win probably over 3 points, probably 4-7. I would think something like that. So I would sit with that. I'd definitely take the under on it. And, you know, weird things have happened in Chicago. Some of our greatest teams have lost at Soldier Field. So that's why I'm a little bit dicey on calling it a win, but I really think, yeah, I think Vikings win this one. 17-14, 19-14, something like that. You know, just low scoring, kind of like, yeah, Gophers Iowa, something like that. You know, kind of a slog fest. You know, probably run the ball a lot. Yeah,
but it's set that way.
Yeah, generally that's how those games go.
Yeah, and I'm just looking back at the last couple seasons. And I knew we had some success, but I didn't realize we had that much success. We've actually won 3 in a row there. But it looks like 19-13 and that type of thing. There's one game that's like a decent, sizable win or whatever. But even 17-9 was 2021. The 29-22, that's high scoring for that one on the road. In 23 or 22 last year, 19-13, that was an ugly one. So yeah, we've actually won we've won 4 in a row there. God, I thought it was more like 2 out of 4, but it's weird how, you know, I think we just, you know, for so many years, they would just tear us up when we get there. But yeah, got that. Now all of a sudden our Schneid, are we going to get off the Schneid of winning there now? Now all of a sudden we're like, oh no, why am I saying all this stuff? But Addison couldn't return to the game yesterday because of cramps. He's questionable, but it was because of cramps. So that's pretty good. Obviously, all over the tight end he's questionable. He did get a little banged up. So, but yeah, obviously we need Addison.
I didn't see a lot of Hawkinson, in the game against the Titans either. So is he banged up a little bit? Probably not on a.
Remember, he got that little hip jammy. Remember when he got swung around that last game? So maybe his hip's a little sore or something. Yeah, that's a good call.
Could be. Yeah, I mean, I just I don't have anything but just not seeing him and seeing Oliver and Johnny Munt catching balls instead of him. So, you know, hopefully he's got a like a hip stinger or something like that. Now, coming off a bye week, Chris, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, the vaunted Penn State Nittany Lions and what's in stake for them on Saturday. Senior night, like you said, so, you know, that's a little boost. My attitude hasn't really changed over the week. I don't know about you.
I'm a new man. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. I think it's a game that you could win in the realm of possibility. But it's hard to predict it because Penn State is
percentage wise. Where would you put it
for a Gophers victory on Saturday? Boy, I'd probably say in the 30s, probably 33. I think 2 out of 3 Penn State wins. So, yeah. You see, yeah. So, you know, my only caveat to that is like the Fleck thing. They tend to come out and play an amazing game at some point in the season. I don't think I've seen it so far this year, where they're just hyped up and he's got the pregame speech and all that. They're rested up. They've got a little extra time to prepare. They've beat Penn State at their place before, so we have that in memory. It'd be nice to be a spoiler for Penn State. As unlikely as it might be, it would be nice to see.
Yeah, it definitely would be nice. That's for sure. Yeah, I think Maryland's the only team, the only game where they came out like with their hair on fire. Other than that, you're right. It's been pretty, pretty weird starts. Yeah, I mean, they've improved their passing game this year. They didn't show it against Ohio State, but other than that, they've been pretty damn good at it. They did get the Kansas offensive coordinator over, and so they are a little bit more explosive than they have been last year. But they, I mean, they got two stud running backs, and they're averaging 200 yards on the game, on the ground. And it's really weird to see 104.7 for us, 104 yards. And for those who don't watch college football, that's just mediocre. That's not good at all, really, especially when, you know, you recruit to it. But then again, 243 through the air, almost 244, that's weird for us to see, too. So, yeah, the defense will have to try to contain the run, and they're going to have to obviously, you know, they're going to have to cause some turnovers. And then defensively, or offensively, I mean, you know, they got to run the damn ball because you don't want to get down and then have to pass. And then that defense, which is one of the best, they're only giving up just short of 14 points a game, 13.6 Penn State. So it is going to be tough. It is going to be a tough game. I don't think they're going to win. The old, you know, let's make it respectable is probably the best hope, or I mean, the most realistic hope. And I think it just the way, you know, in years past, but we don't even go to the when they wouldn't match up 1 and 2 when we were younger, 1 and 2 would rarely face each other for the actual to decide. It was just the AP poll. And then even the BCS with 1 against 2, that was better, but still was a little funky. But we've been at 4 since 2014 or something like that prior to this year. So my point being, you know, in years past, them losing to Ohio State, knowing that they're behind Indiana, who's undefeated still, and Ohio State, and obviously Oregon's pretty much in. So the Big Ten championship game. So in years past, maybe we could catch them slipping, you know, because they're like, well, in a sense, our season's not over. We still have a chance to go to a great bowl game and play on New Year's, but we're not going to get to the Big Ten championship game. So maybe there's a room for some slippage. But those days are gone. and they're number four in the country, and they want to hold it. You know, if they can get that fifth spot and have, you know, what could be not only home field in the first round, but against, say, a Boise State, you know, a non-power team that, you know, you get an automatic one non-power team gets the automatic bid. We'll see where Boise ends up as far as their seeding. Maybe they won't be the 12th seed, but maybe they'll be higher. But I that's what's kind of holding me back. The fact that they can pass and run and they got a nasty defense, I'm just hoping for a respectable outcome. But no, I think Penn State will win. And just kind of all eyes on next weekend on rivalry week at Madison.
And I just cross my fingers because, like we mentioned earlier off the air, was the temperature is dropping. We'll be down to like 30, maybe get some snow. Won't be a comfortable game for either team, but I think Penn State, you know, maybe not be used to that kind of weather. I don't know really what Pennsylvania weather is like, but I don't know. I suppose they get 30s pretty often, so maybe that's pie in the sky. But, you know, I want to see him win. I think you're right about – and, you know, here's off your point. We just haven't run the ball well all year. Yeah. I mean, not to the standard that we're used to running the ball. I mean, you're not going to have Mo every year. You're not going to have some of the great backs we've had. Taylor's good. He's a great all-around back. I don't think he's, you know, especially great in between the tackles, but he's great, you know, third down type of guy where he can catch the ball and do some things in space. And then Major, you know, he's good in between the tackles, but then you lose something out on the edges with him. So we don't really have that lead, you know, back that we could say, all right, we'll run the ball and keep Penn State off the field. So it doesn't really feel like that's a solution there. They got a lot on the line. And, you know, I guess that's a long-winded way of saying, yeah, I think I agree with you. You want to keep it respectable. You want to, you know, you don't want to get blown out. But I also want to keep in my head the possibility of winning this game. So otherwise, why watch if you don't think you had a chance to win? But yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing on Saturday. Chris, I didn't know if you caught any of this, but kind of a little aside here where I think it revolved more around the Gopher basketball program than the football program. But there was some criticism of the athletic department of how, you know, small time it is for being in a big city and can't get the money and you need for particularly the basketball team, but to get a quarterback and the NIL and all that stuff. And I mean, we're fooling ourselves now. This isn't, you know, student athlete amateur stuff anymore. This is paying guys to play for you. And I know we touched on maybe a little last year NIL stuff. But man, it is kind of interesting to see how, you know, this program and both programs, you know, seem to be struggling to come up with funds. And we're not Stanford, we're not Duke, and I'm not even sure if those guys are having troubles. I know we're a good academic.
Well, Duke basketball, that's different.
Yeah, that's different. You're right. I don't think they're ever going to have a problem. But, yeah, so, I mean, to me, I know that's off the Penn State topic, but I did find it pretty interesting, and I do think it's pretty, you know, it's a question as to why there seems to be so much trouble funding this. You know, it might be just people not agreeing with NIL itself. That could be a possibility, but yeah, maybe put a few words in for that. But I do think it's kind of curious as to how they find themselves in having some issues.
Well, it's 100% basketball, it's not football, it's basketball. And you know, you look recently where we've been in the last couple of years. It hasn't been pretty, you know, it's been ugly. It's been really bad. Shit, I mean, they barely beat a team they should beat, and they lost to a team they should beat, just in the non-conference, talking, of course, men's basketball. So, yeah, men's basketball is having an issue. I think it has to do with more right now where we're at, as far as, like, it's just not a lot of support for it because we're not winning games. And so I think that plays into it. On the football side, though, it's been a lot of positivity. So, yeah, it's 100% basketball. Because actually, funny enough, I'm glad you brought this up because I was going to bring something up at the end of this. There's two different things. One, I think Coy Parrish is on his third sponsorship now. Which obviously we'll need to keep him. So you'll need him to keep landing these NLI deals. But there was a $1 million, a local company stepped up with about a 3 week window or something like that. And they said, if you up to $1 million, we'll match it. So if you can get $1 million worth of donations or less, whatever, we'll match it. And they got $1 million. So it was matched. And there's also been a football and volleyball. Volleyball is doing really good in the last chunk of years. Now they're always ranked and all that. And women's volleyball actually does have some run to it. It's been on TV forever. So the football team, remember last year, 2 years ago, we didn't have it up and running that well. So we did lose, you know, depth. That was the biggest thing. I think we lost like two starters in depth, and it hurt us that year. Last year, though, we kept all of our returning players except one, and we did bring in Max, who's been a damn good quarterback. So football-wise, actually, PJ talked about it today. It's way bigger than it was even last year. So we're doing good there. But basketball, yes. I think that just happens. If we're just really bad these last couple seasons, and it just doesn't feel like I said, the last two games, last three games, it doesn't give you a lot of hope for the season. You know, it feels like short segments at the end of the Timberwolves podcast. You know what I mean? That's what it kind of feels like. And for those who don't know, just a reminder, once the Vikings win the Super Bowl, that's what we're just going to say. Whenever the Viking season is done, we will be transitioning, you know, into the Timberwolves/Gophers basketball. But yeah, the men's basketball team is struggling right now. It is an issue there, but it's tough for people to give if they don't have hope on the court, I guess. And right now even though Johnson's done a pretty good job recruiting, it hasn't turned into wins. And when you actually are a pretty bad team, then they're like, well, shit, I can go to this team and at least get into the tournament and stuff like that. And they give me a little more money. Sometimes it's not even before the money started coming into it, there was people just transferring because they're like, dude, I just want to go to a better program, whatever. So yeah, the basketball team is struggling right now majorly. And we'll see if Johnson can get it going this year. There is a problem with the basketball team, no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't realize football was in such good state. I just kind of, you know, the criticism I heard was over just the entire department. So kind of being a small time deal. But yeah, it's good to hear football's in good hands. Nonetheless, we will talk to you next week. Let's hope we can beat Penn State or keep it respectable. And then obviously you want the Vikings to win in Chicago and keep the win streak going. We'll talk to you later.